Well, let me ask you, how easy do you find it to buy presents for people? There are, I think, a few criteria for what makes a good Christmas gift. Now, if like me, you've still got to do all your shopping, take this as helpful advice rather than added pressure. But a good gift demonstrates somehow the giver's care and generosity. A good gift shows that the giver has really thought about the person that they're giving it to and what they need. But more than that, a really good gift, it also goes beyond practical needs and sparks real joy for the one receiving it, making their life more pleasurable as a result. What makes a good gift? Generosity. Understanding of what someone needs. Something that sparks joy. For a few minutes now, as we reflect on those readings that we've heard and the songs we've sung, I'd like us to see that they all point us to God being the most generous, thoughtful, indeed joy-sparking Christmas gift giver there has ever been. And to really see that, we need to begin with the situation into which God's Christmas gift is given. This here is not the image we're to have in mind. Because let's be honest, the people who live in that house, they probably have more than enough already. That those gifts under the tree waiting for them are just going to add to the riches that they already possess. No, this is a better image. Because the backdrop to the original Christmas gift giving is one of struggle and frustration. As one of our readings put it, people dwelling in a land of deep darkness. That's who this gift comes to. It comes to us amidst chaos and struggle, to people who realise that all is not well. And so it has the potential to mean everything to us. Now, we live in one of the most affluent parts of the whole world. And so for many here, they're not all. Our material lives probably do look a bit more like that first Christmas tree. But what about if we go a bit deeper? Does this second image start to resonate with life and how it can feel sometimes? It's been a rough few years. You know, COVID, cost of living, the war in Ukraine and other places as well. And not so much the roaring 20s as the groaning 20s. No doubt for many here, on top of all that, there will be other deeply personal situations that cut deep. The darkness into which the original Christmas gift was given, it represents all of this. And even deeper, right at its heart, beneath all these other symptoms, right at the heart of this darkness is our estrangement from God. He's always been a generous God. Each of us owes our very existence to his gracious gift of life. Each breath we take, each memory we make is from his generous hand. And yet the story of human history is one of rejecting the good giver. And we're all caught up in this. Me, as much as any of you. Us, in the enlightened 21st century West, as much as any other people in any other time or place. By our own choices, we find ourselves estranged from the God who made us. Living in a world that, as a consequence, is not as it should be, that is broken. And yet, all the way through history, there was this wonderful promise that people could cling to. God promised that a time was coming when everything would change. Just as that Christmas tree stands amidst the devastation. So God's promise, it stood as a beacon of hope. Until one particular day, 2,000 years ago, in the small town of Bethlehem, the set time finally arrived. Yeah, the angelic messengers were sent out to shout the news from the rooftops. God has come good on his promise. And he has demonstrated just how generous he is. He has given to those very people who had failed to appreciate all of his previous gifts, he has given to them the most amazing gift of all. Now, one of the ways the Bible describes the gift is like this. But when the set time had fully come, God sent his son, born of a woman, born under the law, to redeem those under the law, that we might receive adoption to sonship. The Christmas story is the story of our generous God knowing us well enough to give us exactly what we needed. His son, born of a woman, to redeem us. How do you go about dealing with a world that's engulfed in darkness? You have to go big, don't you? You need a big solution. It is much easier to point out problems than come up with solutions. And to take just one example, I suspect the Labour Party are going to discover that in 18 months or so. It's easier to point out big problems than come up with suitable big solutions. But God doesn't just point his finger at all the ways that we've contributed to the chaos and darkness. He doesn't just point his finger at all the ways that we've failed to love him as we should or failed to love our neighbour as we should. He also reveals an incredible solution. God sent his son. He sent someone who was fully divine. As the Christian church has confessed down the ages, Jesus is God from God. Light from light, true God from true God. And he had to be, because only someone who was God himself could deal with the scale of the mess that we find ourselves in. Humans have tried to sort it out. Really impressive humans, rulers, prophets, politicians, celebrities, philanthropists. But ultimately all have failed, fallen short. Our Saviour had to be God himself. And yet he was also born of a woman. He had to be a human, because this is a human mess. It was mankind who'd fallen so short, and so it had to be someone of the same flesh and blood who dealt with it. Justice demanded that. What a big and fairly incomprehensible and yet perfectly thought out gift from God. His son became as much a human being as any of us without abandoning any of his godness, and that made him uniquely able to deal with our estrangement from God and all of the consequences. It made him uniquely able to bring about our redemption. There is much more we could say about how he did that. We could speak of the life he lived, perfectly keeping the law by loving God and neighbour. And we could speak of the journey that he took all the way to the cross, where he bore the ultimate curse of the law in our place. And we could speak of the way he burst out of the grave on the third day as a sure sign that the darkness really had been defeated forever. There is much we could say to elaborate, but most of that can wait for another day. The most important thing for us this afternoon is not to get our head around all the details of how exactly this works, helpful though that is in time, but to be convinced of the headline. I don't think the shepherds understood all the details, but as they hurried down to Bethlehem, they rejoiced in the central message. God had sent them a saviour. Even Mary herself, she'll have been quite hazy on exactly what lay ahead for this baby that she bore. But she realised all humanity's hopes rested on this boy. And she trusted God completely. He knew exactly what we needed. And in this Christmas baby, who came as our Redeemer, He gave us exactly that. And yet that's not it. A redemption is not all we can say about this gift. It's not the end of the story. Because this gift, it doesn't just meet our needs. It also has the potential to spark real joy, to make our lives so much more pleasurable and purposeful. Because look where this verse ends. That we might receive adoption to sonship. God's intention was that our estrangement itself would be turned on its head. That we would be welcomed with arms wide open into God's own family. Picture for a moment a child who is adopted into a family. It's impossible to underplay how significant that moment is for them and their identity and their well-being and their future. And they've got no rights to this new status, but it is freely and gladly given to them. And this year's John Lewis advert actually tapped into this, didn't it? Albeit it is in the context of fostering rather than adoption. But there he is, as the husband went and bought a skateboard and set about trying to learn how to ride down a ramp and ollie and kickflip and all the rest, we got a beautiful glimpse into how he felt about this young girl joining his family. And of the kind of personalised, loving welcome that she was going to receive. Adoption, it incorporates all of that with the added blessing of permanence. No more turning up on doorsteps unsure of what you're going to find. Adoption means a forever home. God willingly, joyfully sent his son that we might be adopted into his family, share his inheritance, enjoy all the blessings and benefits of a living relationship with him, to know our Creator and our Judge as our Father. A Father who promises to be around, to be involved, to show interest in us as individuals, in all our diversity, helping us, guiding us, comforting us. Do you see, this Christmas gift is intended to spark real joy, to impact our lives in such a positive way. You know, many of the happiest, most content people I know are Christians, followers of Jesus. Not happy and content necessarily because life is easier for them. In many cases, life is really hard. The darkness presses in. And yet it's clear to see that this living relationship with God, it gives them real purpose and perspective and peace about the future. As we'll sing in our final carol, peace on earth and mercy mild, God and sinners reconciled, light and life to all he brings, risen with healing in his wings. And so as we close, let me ask, this present we've been thinking about, have you unwrapped it yet? Are you trusting in all that God has done for you through Jesus? Our Christmas is often a time where we dream of reconciliation, perhaps even where we make steps within our families to achieve that. What about reconciliation with God this Christmas? He has stepped towards you, gift in hand, arms ready to embrace you. Will you respond by stepping towards him? If I may, a couple of ways you could commit to doing that. Now, under your seats is a little booklet, free for everyone to take away. It explains a little more about this amazing gift. You may like to come along to a series of three sessions that we're running in January called Hope Explored. It'll be very informal. I'm going to lead it. We'll watch some videos. I have a chance to discuss more about the life, death and resurrection of Jesus and what it means for us. Some people here did it last January. I found it really helpful. Above all, you You could pray a simple prayer now, like when you get home tonight, or whenever you're ready, that says to God, "I'm sorry I've ignored you until now. Thank you for this redemption and adoption that you're offering me in Jesus. I'd love to accept it." Now, Windsor Fellowship Church is made up of lots of people who have at some point prayed that prayer. Now, each of us finds it easy to get distracted or be tempted elsewhere or just weighed down by things in life. But we are a church family committed to helping one another live in light of this amazing gift, of reminding one another that the hopes and fears of all the years really are met in Jesus. And so you would be very welcome to keep coming, to join us as we do that together.